man or woman, it really comes through shared experience. And we talked about, hey, Pastor Jeff, how you doing? All right, great. Had me worried. I looked down. We talked about how military men, they trust each other because they have that shared experience. Maybe you have certain traditions that you were part of, a sports team or a college campus or whatever. There's that shared experience that really impacts us. And I just want to encourage you guys to come next year. It's a great, great opportunity to get away, to just build some relationships and to come back revived, ready to serve our families and to lead our families. And guys, I appreciate it and all those that led it. Brent oversaw it, and he headed out this morning to Hawaii with their family, get away a few days. He did a great job. So guys, make sure you encourage them. Then we had Sean and Brian provide incredible meals. If you only want to come for nice food, I tell you, it's a great time as well. And they provided food for us as well, so it was excellent. And then we had about 60 people go to a baseball game last night. How was the game, everybody? Was it good? No? Yeah, okay. You can clap if it's good. All right, was it good? All right. You celebrated a birthday, it looked like, with one of your kids the last couple days and stuff. So, well, good. I hope that was fantastic as well. Did Richmond Squirrels win? No. Okay, that's why we didn't clap. Okay, all right. Got it. Well, I hope that was fun. You know, I like just going for the seventh inning stretch, you know, just being able to stand up for a few minutes and enjoy it. Baseball is the most boring game of all, isn't it? But it's so boring. You get to talk and hang out with people and occasionally see somebody get hit by a baseball. Then it kind of sort of like, you know, car racing or something. But, well, let's look at Luke chapter 1 for just a second. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 here. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, sent from God into the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Mary, you're highly favored and you're blessed. I want to talk this morning about a very special lady, Mary. She was highly favored. She was blessed. And I think that's what we can say about all of you ladies today. Certainly it's Mother's Day. We recognize our grandmas. How many grandmas do we have in here? Without grandmas, we'd have no mothers, right? Oh, thank you, grandmas. Appreciate that. Great. Thank you all for being here. And moms, raise your hands for us. So that'd include you grandmas again, wouldn't it? Yeah, all right, thank you. And all of you ladies, maybe you haven't come to that point yet, but what a wonderful opportunity to bring life into this world. And we just honor all of you ladies today. Thank you for being who you are and for ministering to us. Let's pray and then we will look at this thought and this idea here of Mary, this very special lady. Dear Father, thank you for motherhood. God, you designed family. You looked into this world, came up with a divine plan, and you instilled this idea of family. Thank you for your awesome ideas. Lord, in spite of our humanity, our failures, our sinfulness and selfishness at times, what a wonderful thing of family. May today we honor the ladies in our lives. May moms feel special. May we leave here more desirous to fulfill your plan for our lives. And God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I read about an artist. His name is Frederick Bartholdi. And he had a great artwork in New York City. This artwork is probably the largest in New York City. And I remember the last time I went to New York and got on a ferry just to be able to see this artwork. It's the Statue of Liberty. And when this artist was designing it, and it's really incredible, all the aspects that he was looking at and the symbolism and what it would represent, he was trying to come up with a model. Who was going to be the face of the Statue of Liberty? And most people believe that he chose his mother. He wanted the face of his mother to be honored there. And so we see Frederick Bartholdi's mom in the face of the Statue of Liberty. He honored his mom. Mother's Day is a wonderful day because God designed this wonderful thing called family. But the reality is, throughout history, often women were just considered property of this man, something to be bartered in the family. And the scriptures come along and honors motherhood, honors femininity. It raises the bar. Instead of saying that women are just to be second-class citizens, God said, no, I want this to be an honored position. Instead of it being something just to fulfill roles, God said, I want to instill this with love. Today we look at Luke 1 and 2. It's really considered a Christmas passage, and we probably are going to look at this again in December, and we're going to look at the five songs in the early chapters of Luke and talk about the five songs of Christmas. But today we don't have a Christmas message. It's a Mother's Day message. Mary, you are highly favored. You are blessed. I remember when Paul and I moved to Fredericksburg to start Choice. We didn't have any children. We moved into the property that we still live in today, and we found out we were expecting. And one of our goals was to enjoy every phase of parenting. One of the pastors in the area challenged me in that area, and he said, my wife and I have enjoyed every phase of parenting. And I thought, that's a great challenge, because you know what? It can be frustrating as parents, right? I mean, it can be difficult. It can be exhausting. And I think I've done that except for the diaper stage. I didn't really enjoy that phase, I have to tell you that, and I stayed away from it. I always had, you know, I've got to do some shepherding calls when I thought maybe that was needed or something, and so I didn't enjoy that. But really, you know, when our children came home, I've told you before, I wrote a letter to my kids, and when we brought them home and put them in the crib that first night, there was a letter for them to talk about where they were going to go and the love that their mom and I had for them, holding them, and it was so incredible. We realized we had the smartest kids in the world. You know, it was just amazing the things they're rolling over. Isn't that? That's awesome. I remember just looking at my kids, and they were just breathing and just going in and watching them, and just, I had the opportunity to be a part of this life coming into the world. And then them learning to crawl and learning to walk and those first words that they said. My dad told me we teach kids to walk and talk, and then we tell them to sit down and shut up. And there's probably some, you know, reality to that as well. But we go through the toddler stage and we watch all the changes. And we see how beautiful these children are, and as they're growing and their life is changing, and then maybe they go to preschool or they go to elementary school, and you teach them at home or you send them to school, then they enter into middle school. I remember the first day of middle school, I always drove my kids to school that morning. We had a little bit of time, but middle school, they started riding the bus, and so Paul and I took our van down to the bottom of the hill and waited for the bus to come and pick them up. And they hopped out excited to get on the bus that first day. And they drove off, and I just cried. Man, they're growing up. You know, they take that first step, and they don't stop. They keep walking and walking and moving along. And then they go to high school and go through college, and now my kids are adulting. And it's exciting, but, you know, we've always wanted to kind of push them down, but we've enjoyed these phases moving into. And I'm told that the empty nest is the most exciting phase. Anybody in that? You agree with that? All right. So, yeah, a lot of smiles around here. Okay. All right. So kids, forget all that stuff about loving you at the home, you know, that you're gone and you're gone. Don't come back. But a friend of mine told me, this guy was preaching a great message on the home and our children leaving, and this older pastor leaned over to me, and he was just a wise individual. And I thought, what is he going to say? And he said, this guy hasn't realized that they come back. And so I think that I was like, you know, I love older pastors. They've always been, man, these guys are so wise. Got a lot of great common sense stuff. So today I want to talk about the phases that Mary went through in her becoming a mom. You are highly favored. You are blessed. And I think we would have to say that about being parents, that it's a blessing. What a wonderful opportunity to bring children into the world and guide them along. And the first phase we want to look at, go ahead and look at chapter 2, verse 7. In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and says, and she brought forth her firstborn son, which tells us that Mary had other children, right? If this was the first, she would have had others. She brought forth her firstborn son. She entered into being a mom at this point. The other day, I had a meal with Pastor Steve and Patty, and they were telling us about their kids growing up, and that their favorite child was Joy, and all these kind of things that they were sharing and stuff, but maybe I added that, but they were talking about going through seminary, and when Pastor Steve was finishing his seminary and he had tests, at that same point, he was finishing up his degree. And in one of the serious classes that they had, a class that he couldn't miss, they had just had their youngest, I believe, if I'm remembering it right, maybe the oldest, okay, the oldest. And Pastor Steve came in and had bubblegum cigars that he was passing out to all the guys real quietly while during the final exams or something like that. Maybe I messed that whole story up, but they were excited about parenting. You get to be a mom, you get to be a dad. This highly favored lady, this blessed lady, becomes a mom here. John 16 says this, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow, because her hour is come. Is that true, ladies? Having a child, labor's a little difficult. But as soon as she is delivered from the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now, some ladies have said, I believe the Bible, just that verse, I'm not sure. You know, the first couple of hours after having a child. But going through that difficult process of childbirth and then being able to hold that child and raise that child, and they do it once and they say, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I was talking to a lady that has grown children the other day, and she picked up a little baby and looked at her husband and said, I think I would like one more. And he was looking at her like, it ain't going to happen, you know. But after all, why would a lady go through all that? Why would she go through the aspects of morning sickness and difficulty and all these problems? Because joy that a child is born. What a wonderful joy. The potential of this couple having a shared life, that they can provide security. This eternal soul, this significant, unique individual, that babies can come from the same couple and be so unique, so diverse, and then God plants a specific shape within them and gives them their own personality, and they come into this world. Well, today on Mother's Day, we have a child dedication. We have two special families. I'm going to introduce them, and I'm going to ask them to just share something about the new stages that they're entering into. But Grace and William George, the child of Jonathan and Hope, they're going to come forward at this time. And then also Chloe Elizabeth Haynes, the daughter of Cliff and Missy, they're going to come as well. And they have to get the baby because Grandma has a baby here. Baby, all right, special time with Grandma there. And they're going to come forward at this time, and we're going to just ask them a little bit about this aspect called marriage or having a child here. And I know Jonathan just went out. I was thinking, boy, if she's nursing right now, this is going to really mess this thing up. So good, they're getting ready to come on. Come on down. All right. The price is right. You guys, come on. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. Pastor Jeff, let me turn it over to you for a second here. Yeah, exciting. We have certificates for both families too. So all right. Well, thank you all. Thank you so much. What a wonderful thing. And you know what else is exciting? That we have nurseries around here and preschool classes and children's church that people serve in and helping our families and teaching them the scripture. What a wonderful joy to me as my kids grew up and I was trying to teach them, and they would learn stories and truths from other people in our church, our Awana leaders and our teen leaders. And so this church plays a vital role. And let's pray for each other. Let's remember to do that, because first phase we looked at, Mary was birthing her child. She became a mom. It's interesting. So there is a time of dedication where Jesus comes to the temple. It's a time of consecration where the parents are providing an offering. And so they enter into the temple, and there's this man named Simeon. And he sees Jesus, and God somehow reveals to him, to Simeon, who Jesus is. And he comes up to Joseph and Mary. I can just kind of picture him taking Jesus, and they're thinking, who is this guy? What is he doing? Holding Jesus. And he declares him to be the Messiah. And then he looks at Mary, and he says these words in Luke 2:35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword shall pierce through thy soul. I looked at several commentaries, one that said this was undoubtedly a reference to the personal grief that Mary would endure when she watched her own son die in agony. J. Vernon McGee said, when Mary stood beneath that cross and watched Jesus die, it was with a broken heart. Of course, her suffering had nothing to do with your salvation. Her suffering had nothing to do with her salvation. Her suffering was due to a human relationship. She was his human mother. She had brought him into the world and raised him. He was her son. You see, when our Lord looked down from the cross and said, "Woman, behold thy son," a human relationship was there that no one else had. She was suffering as his mother. And at that time, the prophecy of Simeon was fulfilled. The sword pierced through her soul. Mary, a sword is going to pierce through your soul. The incredible joys of having a child. But this sword piercing, the word means a constant, a continual piercing that would go on. It would never stop. The reality is motherhood is difficult. Maybe the first time you experienced morning sickness, or you realized hormones were changing and emotions were kind of different, or the physical changes that took place, or maybe gaining some weight, or I'm cautious to say this, but one or two ladies when they're pregnant, I've seen them waddle into the church. There's some changes. I told you I was being cautious there. So the labor and delivery, the change of priorities, the sleepless nights, the physical and emotional exhaustion, the times of teaching and training, correcting, encouraging, the heartaches as well as the successes, the frustrations and the victories, the desire to protect your children, maybe from the neighborhood bully, maybe from wrong influences, or even the heartbreak of a dating relationship. Raising our children into adulthood, they take that first step, is the start of saying goodbye. And the reality is we can't hold on too tightly. Remember that first sleepover, their first prom. They go to college, they start a career, they get married, and they leave. but you never stop being a mom. No one loves like a mother. No one believes in a child's potential like the mother. And no one suffers like a mother does. Have you heard it said, when children are young, they step on your toes, but as they get older, they step on your heart? You see, the reality is, in our selfishness as children at times, we feel we're entitled. Why can't you take me to McDonald's? Why can't you buy that? I remember asking my parents, can you buy this for me? And they said, no. And I said, can't you write a check? I've saw them write checks. And they said, no, we can't write a check. I said, I've seen you write checks. I'm sure you can get this for me. And sometimes I was upset. Why can't I do what I want to do? And often we don't realize all that our parents sacrifice until we become parents ourselves. And we look back and we think, boy, how selfish have I been at times? How ungrateful have I been because of all that my parents have done? In Proverbs 31, speaking of the virtuous woman, this woman that's highly favored and blessed, Proverbs 31 says, her children arise up and call her blessed. Today's a family service. If you're one of our young people in this room, I just want to challenge you and encourage you to bless your mom today. Thank her, and may it not just be a one-day thing, but may it be a continual thing. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Mom, you are such a blessing. Thanks for all that you do. Yes, they may have a heart attack. Yes, they're going to realize you're going to ask for money later or something, or something up or whatever, but bless them today. Because there are trials. But we see something else. Look at Luke chapter 2, 52. Just one more phase we're going to focus on for a second. Luke 2, 52. Speaking of Jesus here. And Jesus increased. The word increase means to cut one's way forward. He increased in wisdom. That was intellectual growth. Stature was physical growth. Favor with God was spiritual growth. And favor with man is relational or social growth. Jesus increased. He grew as a very balanced individual. A huge responsibility. All the different aspects of parenting. And God gives that responsibility to young couples, or maybe ones that are almost 50 as well. But whatever the case would be, that is awesome, Cliff. I didn't realize that as well. I thought for sure you were 48 or something. I thought you were much younger anyway. But man, that's incredible, bringing life into the world, and God gives you that responsibility. Man, when I was young, I thought my parents knew everything, and then I become a parent, and I realize how little I really know, but God had given me that responsibility, and I really didn't think about it much with the first, and then we have a second child, and then I had to start helping because I realized my wife only had two hands, and it was like, wow, this is a big responsibility here, that these children are going to grow up. And it's our responsibility to help them. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 19, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two will become one. The reality is, as much as we enjoy the different phases of our children, they're growing up. They're getting older, and they are going to leave. You see, these are phases that our children go through. We want them to be responsible adults. We want them to be positive impacts on society. And so we train them, we prepare them, we guide them to be able to leave one day. They go out. Generation after generation has done this. Society after society has done this. And children are born and they grow up. And then they have children that grow up and they have children that grow up. That's the process that we go through, and we prepare them to become independent. But let me say this, if you have young children, you don't start with them becoming independent. You start with them being dependent. You know, a baby bird might be with their mom and dad for a season. But God gives us many years to have our children with us. And we start with them by their dependent. That's why we teach them, children, obey your parents. The men's retreat, we talked about children asking why. You know, when your children get to that point and they're asking why. Hey, I want you to clean your room. Why? Hey, no, you just clean your room because that's what mom and dad said. You don't have to have a reason right now. You just learn to obey. I'll teach you. But the reality is, if we're going to teach them independence, there comes that point when they're teenagers and they ask why. We need to have some good reasons, right? They may not, their attitude may not be right. The timing might not be right. But when our children are young, let me just say this, if you have young children, it's not the season for you to teach them all the answers. It's the season to teach them to obey. What I learned in parenting, I'm always going to love my children, but if I don't teach them obedience, nobody else will. And I wanted my kids to be a blessing. And I want you to really think about that aspect as parents. Dads, help your wife in this aspect, because sometimes, you know, they're so gracious that they want to be overly nice, or in your case, maybe it's a little backwards, but you need to work with your kids to help them to become obedient. And as they've gotten this idea of obedience, then we start teaching them this aspect from dependence to independence so they can go out into society. So we do give them the reasons. It is frustrating as a teenager to never know the answers why we can't do this and why we're not able to do that. Now, if you're a teen and you say, see, parents, you always got to tell them why. That's not what I'm saying, all right? But parents, I'm saying to you, we need to teach the moral reason as they get older. Because one day, more than likely, these children are going to go out and they move from independence that they're going to raise your grandchildren one day, and they need to be dependent or interdependent in this new family. We go from dependence to independence to interdependence in that home. And those children, as much as you love and you want to care for and you want them to be with you, they are going to leave. They're going to go and they're going to move to Florida. And you're going to say, why you move to Florida? Why would you leave me? Why would you go to Florida, right? I mean, if you're in here and you're getting that, their kids ought to ask for forgiveness, you know, if they're like that. I'm not going to say any names here or anything. But they are going to grow up. And our job is to help them to be productive citizens. They become independent. See, life becomes more than playing Xbox or playing soccer or, you know, how many likes you can get on Facebook, right? Life gets a little bit bigger than that. And it's our job to be preparing them physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The reality is 80% of young people that are brought up in church, or maybe even a higher percent, once they enter college age, they quit going to church. And friends, we want to do everything possible. I'm so thankful for Pastor Dean and Christia, who is that mom. That was you. Did you do that? I think that was her up there. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Especially the basketball on your kid's face. Yeah, I saw that. What an awesome job they do to guide our teens along. You know, if you talk to so many teens, they're kind of in their phone or, you know, with their heads down. They don't know how to talk to adults. Man, you go around our teens, and I just want to say how awesome I think our teens are. With new teens coming in, they do a great job of connecting. If you as adult come up to them, they talk to you, they respect you, they have a great relationship. And that spiritual impact, getting your kids in Awana, getting them in the youth group, getting them connected so they can have those shared experiences. Making sure as parents that we have time of prayer with our kids, because they are going to carry on the next generation. What's this world going to be like in the next generation? It's up to you and I to make that difference. And yes, sometimes our kids get off track, right? And as Proverbs says, train them up in the right way, and as they get older, they will not depart. We want them to come back if they did depart, but we don't want them to depart, right? And how do we do that? Let me go back to Proverbs 31:28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Bless your parents today. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I know some guys say, she ain't my mom, but she is your children's mom. and you praise her today. I think of children at times that would talk rudely to their mom. And I remember growing up, and I was afraid of my parents. I really was. I don't know what they would have done, but I know they would have done something. My dad shared some things I couldn't even share from the pulpit, but I was afraid of them. I mean, I rarely, had an attitude toward them. And I saw this in other kids, and I remember my dad saying, "Do you know why they're that way? Because they see the dad talking rudely to their mom, and they think it's okay to talk that way." Children rise up and bless. Her husband praises her. Guys, let's make sure that we are honoring femininity. We are honoring womanhood. We are honoring the ladies in our life, that they understand the incredible value that God has given to them today. So today, let's show appreciation. Let's honor our parents. Let's, if we're younger, to obey them so we can have the godly homes that God desires. Let's bow our heads in prayer for just a moment. Friend, maybe you're here today and you've never made that spiritual impact of asking Christ to be your Savior. I tell you, the most important thing that we could do today is to know that we're going to heaven one day. If you don't have that settled, we would love to have somebody share with you from the Scriptures on how you can know your sins are forgiven. Maybe you're a young person here today and you don't know that you're going to heaven one day. We would like to help you to get that settled. Maybe you're a senior adult here. You even grew up in church, but you don't know you're going to heaven. Whoever you are, if you don't have that settled, come forward during this final song. Or maybe you know that you're saved. Let me just have you pray for your family. Maybe you aren't married yet. Just pray that God will place that right person in your life. And make sure you have some good boundaries around yourself. Those right influences. Or you're engaged or a young married couple. You see the potential of the future. Ask God to guide you. Remember that commitment that you made for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. Yes, you go through difficult days, but remember to praise, to respect, to love each other. And if you have children, pray for them. Be a godly example. Create the right kind of atmosphere and attitude in your home and the places around you. Bring them to church. May your children see godly parents. Parents that are reading their Bible, they're praying at home, they're involved at church, they're a positive impact on the community around us. Mark Mason said that marriage is a little bit of heaven on earth. It's what is left from paradise. That's what God intends. But we've got to be the right person. Young people, God calls us to honor. Children, God calls us to obey. May the families at Choice Baptist Church demonstrate this pattern that God has set for us. Dear Father, please speak to us. May we be different as we leave here today. Help us to respond to your will right now. In Jesus' name. Let's just stand for this song of invitation. Maybe you just want to bow in prayer. You just join us on this song in the heart of worship. Lord, we just sang it's about you. the way we conduct ourselves, the attitudes we possess, our speech, the way we treat others, especially the way we respond in our homes. It's about you. Help us to lead and respect, to react, respond, because you love us and we love you. May we obey you. May we follow you as we submit to your will, to your plans. Use us, God. Strengthen our families. Lord, you know the hurts that are in hearts today. And you know the incredible potential. If we would just offer ourselves to you and allow you to work in our circumstances, in the people's lives around us. Lord, make an impact in our lives today. God, I pray for young couples and young people that you would guide them. I pray for our seniors, you know their struggles. Lord, comfort them and challenge them to do your will. Help them to invest in the lives of others. Use us to make a difference. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's thank God for family today. All right, you can.